The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Tuesday, the 4th of March, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. We've got lots to talk about today, so let's get the show started. Equality Bahamas is hosting its annual International Women's Day March and Expo on Saturday, March the 8th. The march starts at the Eastern Esplanade, and we march to the Dundas Performing Arts Center for a full day of activities, presentations, food, snacks, and everyone to join us. And if you cannot join us, at least make a little room for us as we make this traditional march. Yesterday, one of the callers emphasized that they are tired of tuning in and hearing people complaining, right? And after reflecting on that, I thought, you know, I would use the space not to complain that people are complaining and not talking about more positive things. I would just use the space whenever I can to talk about more positive things. So I'm going to remind people, if you didn't pick up a copy of yesterday's Guardian, here's a wonderful story in yesterday's Guardian. 24 to compete for National Spelling Bee title. Here are the names: Shadina Dormius, Central Abaco Primary School. Fletcher Roll, Huntley P. Christie High School. Mr. Roll is in the Andrus in the Berry Islands District. Ms. Dormius is in the Abaco District. Andrus in the Berry Island District also gives us Christian Bean, Reverend Euthal Rogers Primary. Associate Schools gives us Alexander Brannan. He's Genesis Academy. Yalvatin Quant, Genesis Academy. Arav Balani, Lyford Key International School. Melissa Juarez Cruz, St. Andrews International School. Carwin Turnquest, Windsor Old Fort. Matt Alcala, Mary Star of the Sea Catholic Academy. Sean Cargill Jr., St. Cecilia's Primary School. Thelma Gibson Primary School presents to us Bradnica Develis. Again, Thelma Gibson Primary School, Tian Bain. They look like up the care. These two girls look like a powerhouse. Y'all don't mess with Thelma Gibson Primary School. St. Andrew's Anglican School in Exuma brings us Celine Roll. Old Bite High School, Cat Island, Jasmine Clare. Wellington Preparatory in Eleuthera, Bria Curry. Emily G. Petty Primary School, Alenia Green. Maurice E. Moore Primary School, Tyrell Thompson. H.O. Nash Junior High School, Caden Anellis. Isabella Pleshet Suffren. San Salvador Central High School. Isla Farquharson, Admiral Ferguson Senior High School, Crooked Island. Krishante Bethel, Stephen Dillard Primary School, Nathaniel Wiley Yellow Elder Primary School, Seth Brown, A.F. Adley Junior High School, and Tyrell Thompson Maurice, and my great-grandnephew Camden Green, Walter Parker Primary, that's in the Grand Bahama, Bimini, and the Keys District. And see, that's a positive story. If you know one of these young people or you know their family, reach out and tell them. You hear people talking about them and you want to send your love and support for them as well. I mean, we could wish for all the students to win, you know. We know they not all cannot win, but we could wish for all to win. We don't have to pick sides. Congratulations to all the young people. Now, following yesterday's conversation, I'm going to put traffic down for a moment. I want to throw a question out to the audience. Is the Bahamas a failed state? Is the Bahamas a failed state? You got three answers. Yes or no or failing, but we still have time to fix it. So question of the day, is the Bahamas a failed state? Three answers available, yes or no or failing, but we still have time. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for Family Island listeners, and the text line, as always, 422-4796, that's 422-GR96. Producer, if you could prep that call, please. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm pretty good, Aaron. I would lean towards we are failing, but we still have time to fix it.
Okay.
But it wouldn't be from these leaders, these present leaders who are running the show right now.
Okay.
You know, you check every ministry. If you name one who is productive, then you'll see why I feel that way. Exactly what was the chief passport officer talking about? Didn't invade his position with those documents that were surfacing on social media?
In respect
to the voter's card and citizenship, and voter's card and passport or passport. But
I'm listening.
Isn't one of the requirements to obtain our documents? Now, I don't know whether the politicians would have watered it down for money and votes, and just to create this new voting bloc. But I'm almost convinced that one of the basic tenets or requirements is that you must be able to speak English.
To get a passport?
Yeah. or to become a citizen of the Bahamas. If you get a passport, then it means that you're a citizen, right?
Yeah, but yes, you cannot get a passport without having the status of citizenship in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. But
right.
It is possible. See, it is possible that you could be born in the Bahamas legally, that you could have citizenship conveyed to you through the provisions of the Constitution.
It wouldn't be the Constitution. It will be the Nationality Act that they use.
But no, but that's what I'm saying.
If it was the Constitution, Jean Rooney would have been given a citizenship.
Okay, but here's what I'm saying. Right, we know what the provisions of the Constitution say, and then we know that the provisions of the Nationality Act are deemed good law, even if they contradict with provisions of the Constitution, until they've been shown to be bad law, right?
So, well, Aaron,
hold on.
The thing about it, okay, you go, then I will make a comment.
So the point I wanted to make was just this, that circumstance can exist. It's possible that somebody could be born in the Bahamas with legal status, no hanky-panky, no sneaking people in the country, and remain in a closed community where they have homeschooling primarily or only. They speak their mother tongue or not English as the primary language in the home. And a child could receive a passport and not speak English.
Well, I'll put it to you like this. I'll put it to you like this, yeah. I hear you, right?
Yeah.
But no way on planet Earth, the Nationality Act, which is law, there's no way possible for a law that the politicians wrote to be able to confer more rights than what the Constitution permits. It doesn't work that way. If that is indeed the case, the Nationality Act should have been brought to a referendum where we vote to create those changes. It never happened. But I'll leave that for another day.
Okay.
But my point is this too. I mean, another point that I want to make. Imagine if this was the case where you don't necessarily speak English. Imagine about 15 different nationalities whose primary language is not English. And they were in large amounts, like our neighbors from the south. Imagine the chaos and confusion that would be going on in this one small Bahamas, in a country where we speak English. I know better. And I know the requirements have been watered down because Justice Joan Sawyer, a few years ago when she's doing her tour, she stated that this present Minister of Foreign Affairs gave out over 2,000 citizenship to persons who can't speak English. That's what she said. That's Justice Joan Sawyer I'm quoting here.
Where did she say it? See, here's the thing.
All through the public domain.
But
all through the public domain.
Okay.
Fred Mitchell never sued her.
Okay, no problem. I got a whole bunch of things I have to address there, Cleaver.
Yeah, but Aaron, we got to. Then you see a law that is more powerful and can give you more rights than what the Constitution permits. You know now that there's something that's fundamentally flawed with that.
Okay. I got to stick a pin there, Cleaver. Stick a pin. First of all, the idea that the Nationality Act conveys more rights and privileges than the Constitution outlines. I have to assess that. I have not assessed that personally. Secondarily, that's why I made that point earlier. It is possible for law to exist that clearly contradicts the Constitution. Because we have this principle that says that the law, once it's passed, it's a provision in the law, right? And when you pass a law, it says it. This law is deemed... Hold on. This is very important, Cleaver. The law is deemed to be good law until it is shown to contradict the Constitution, which means that you need to invoke like a judicial review and go to the courts and say, this is bad law. Here are the points where this law contradicts the Constitution and these provisions should be changed.
Yeah.
Right? So that circumstance is possible, but I am not sure if that's what we are experiencing.
We are experiencing it, Aaron, because in the Jean Rooney case, before Fred Smith went off to the Privy Council. He was stating that Jane Rooney was a Bahamian. He was born here. But when he came back asking if it'll be okay for Jane Rooney to get a work permit. You know, with the laws of London State? They stated that it is clear that the appellant, Jane Rooney, did not meet the criteria laid forth out in the Constitution of the Bahamas, meaning he didn't apply for citizenship between...
Okay, so hold on, Cleaver. Okay, pause. So you understand, like, this court case, right, involves a judicial review of the Nationality Act. And then the judges made their declaration. So here's what happens next. Then you have to compel Parliament. You then have to compel Parliament to go in and change those laws. Those are all things you got to do. But Cleaver, I want transition. I want to respond to the things you said, but I just missed the callers. I want to give space to more callers as well.
Okay, fair enough, Aaron. But I'd like to discuss that with you further.
Yeah, man. So a couple of things to address. The question of whether the Nationality Act and or the Constitution have a requirement that you must speak English to be able to receive citizenship. That's one thing we got to confirm. I'm going to get back to addressing some of the points made by that caller in a moment. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you do?
Not bad. Yes, I believe Cleaver was trying to get to the point where...
Okay, pause. It's not children in the example. It's adults. Right. And so the question is, how could an adult be in the Bahamas for sufficient time to achieve, to have citizenship granted to them, right, but not be able to speak English?
Well, there's only one word for that, right? It's corruption.
But the question is, do you have to speak English to...
This is an English-speaking country.
That doesn't matter. No, hold on. That doesn't matter. If we are not legally deemed an English-speaking country, if we don't have in legislation that you must be an English speaker to be granted citizenship, right, or to have this constitution convey citizenship to you upon birth.
So what you were saying, there is a law in the Bahamas, right? In other words, there is a law in the Bahamas whereby anybody could come and apply for citizenship despite that the people who they're applying to can't even understand them, right?
Okay, no, the people they're applying to could understand them. Hold on, pause. Because it's what you're saying is very interesting. I'm not trying to shut you down. But the people who they're speaking to, the state, we assume that they could speak any language required because through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, they're going to get an interpreter. So that's not the issue. See, let me give you another example.
Again, we have a lot. This may be not the right place to even speak on it, right? Because, from your perspective, right? But we who live in the cities and areas like Carmichael and other places around this country, right? We are experiencing these things daily.
Okay, no, pause.
Like the media don't have no clue what's going on.
Okay,
in this
hold on, pause. I appreciate what you're saying. You're saying to me, Ms. Green, if you are in the inner city, right, and you hear the proliferation of Creole, right, that you would be as concerned as we are.
Shouldn't we be?
I'm not saying you shouldn't be. What I am saying is there is no law that exists. What I'm recommending is that you begin a lobby. If that is your position, that people who are granted citizenship or have citizenship conveyed to them at birth should speak English, you have to lobby for that. That's all.
Right? But at the end of the day, lobbying in a country where 39 persons have the final say and the only say, right? It gets nowhere in this country. This is why we in the position we are in, simply because of leaders was not even interested in the effect what their citizens go through, unless it's an election. All over this country, people get proven the fact that we have persons in this country, right? We've just been here for 2 weeks. They can't pronounce the word Blue Hill Road. They don't even know where Carmichael Road is, right? but they walking around with a brand new e-passport and voter's card.
I feel you. I appreciate exactly what you were saying. I got another call on the line.
Yes,
I want to get all the calls in. But remember the point I said.
Uh-huh.
There has to be a law. If that's the position you want, begin lobbying. I want you to know.
On this, Aaron.
I appreciate
on this. This is the reason why we elect the people, right, to ensure the
wishes of the Bahamian people are fulfilled.
Man.
Yeah, I with you. I understand. I want you to know I understand.
Yes, but Aaron. Have a nice day, man. Continue the show. We're listening.
You too. My dear caller, why you hang up? I tell you, you could hear me trying to transition to the next call. Okay, I come in right now. These comments, I need to be able to respond to what the callers are saying. Very interesting points that need to be interrogated. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Mr. Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
I'd like to comment on that, right?
Yeah.
One, the U.S., they had a problem with the same situation with Iraqi right now.
Yeah.
So what they did is, a lot of Spanish-speaking people in the States.
Because the lower half of the States used to be Mexico. You see how Trump said he just decided he can turn the Gulf of Mexico into the Gulf of... I hope you didn't hang up on me because I was making that reference. You know, most... The presence, the remnants of his Spanish in the U.S. is because those portions of the U.S. used to be Spanish-speaking territories, and they still are. Good morning, caller.
Yes, sir, man.
Okay, good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, okay, well, it's fair, right? So Donald Trump, what he did to solve that situation, he made English the primary language. And the second thing I'd like to comment on, I don't think that the Bahamas is a failed state based on the fact that everything that's going on now has been going on. The only difference is that social media is now exposing the things that was happening about 50 years ago.
Okay.
I'll give an example. All the crime is going on, been going on.
Mm-hmm.
All the rape is going on, been happening. All the incest was going on is being exposed now, been happening over 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the internet, the radio, TV, and social media is just exposing the things that were happening previously before.
I got you. Absolutely.
What do you think about that?
I think I'm agreeing with you to some extent. Some of the nature of some of the offenses have changed, but I agree with you that this is what has been happening. It's social media that is exposing it, right? Like the sexual assaults are not increasing. The reporting of sexual assaults is increasing.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Also, I think that worldwide, right, to be honest with you,
mm-hmm.
should actually sue social media based on the social degradation of what's going on in the world nowadays. Media is totally
dumbed down to
a
people.
Large extent of what's going on in the world nowadays.
Okay.
Look at it. Every stupid thing you do, you get a like.
And not just
how
that.
In the world, in any civilized world, right, that something stupid you do equals a like.
I got
Think
you.
About it.
Thank you. I can read this little headline here to kind of highlight what it is you were saying. Other callers, I come at you. Give me 3 seconds. In today's Guardian, Melania Trump says, it's heartbreaking to watch teens grapple with the fallout from revenge porn. Right? Like, the same things are happening, but the technology means that the way it happens has changed. Sorry about that. Caller, let's go. Good morning, caller.
Yes, how you doing? Just let me turn up this radio right quickly.
Yes, sir.
Yes, go ahead. Just let me say, for the caller just called, social mm-hmm. media is not something you can sue. It's a accumulation of different platforms. It's basically, in the purest sense, social media
mm-hmm.
is an expression. It's a definition for what is called interactive technologies.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that individuals, in the same way libraries been around and people refuse to use it, and now social media is not an education platform. Social media is for sharing, aggregation of content among virtual
mm-hmm.
communities.
Mm-hmm.
But the internet gives you access to educational tools unimagined even a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so they not should be confused with each other.
Right, and we should lobby to create laws that help to moderate behavior on social media, help to protect young people?
No, I think you have a right to be stupid and consume what you want, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And what you should do is educate people, beginning at an earlier age, that this is a tool for your personal benefit and growth.
Mm-hmm.
And just like a knife, you know, I could give you a knife to cut meat. If you cut yourself, it's your responsibility. Just teach them for better use, better use of it. And so you get to choose. Now, you know, I have children that chooses their consumption on social media, and it's up to the parent also to guide them in the direction they should go. So I've developed habits within my younger children right now on mm-hmm. how to use social media, and they self-guide themselves. And this is why, just use an example, it's not a bragging. I have an 8-year-old daughter that is tested at the 8th grade. I have a 5-year-old daughter that's tested at the 4th grade.
Mm-hmm.
They use those same digital tools for learning. It's just that I directed them in a manner that is best for them. And so the problem is that we've never taught the previous generation to teach this new generation. So the reason why you don't speak Italian is because probably your mom or dad didn't, so they didn't get to teach you.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to speak to this immigration issue. Proficiency in English is a requirement for Bahamian citizenship.
All right, thank you.
So we don't need to debate that. And you know, I think when we begin to use these benchmarks, what America doing, what Canada doing, everything else, we can look at what we are doing or what we're supposed to do. But when you talk about the Nationality Act, and I've even heard the Minister of Immigration in a short video claim the type of citizenship we have, and it's out of context. Because we have a Jus Soli and Jus Sanguinis in the Bahamas, right of the mm-hmm. soil and right of blood. But what we have is we don't have what's called unconditional rights of those things. And so, but each one has its own requirements that is addressed in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And the Constitution gives the right to make certain laws. But the Constitution doesn't give you a right to create a law that is ultra-virus to the country's constitution, and then for you to retain those rights. I think, like you say, maybe requires some advocacy,
mm-hmm.
but clearly our leadership is well aware of these abuses in it, because they have been talking about it for decades. We've been talking about digitization and all these other different things. But just let me end in saying this.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why we don't want digitalization, and these other things in the country is because those same laws they debated in the Senate yesterday will begin to be shown defective, because in the digitization of the country and records, the fraud going all the way back becomes evident. For example, you have the guy that signed these, what do you call them, people, JP? You begin to look at the computer, especially with AI, and find out that Alan Johnson was signing documents for Grand Bahama, Abaco, for McCall, and he was in all of these places witnessing all of these different things and giving attestation to these things. And individuals who say they have witnessed thousands of births or hundreds of births, and they're not, those people who deliver homes.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows the inconsistency in our records. But then when you begin to try to seek those records, you may have some people who have gotten citizenship 40 years ago or 30 years ago who assumed they had citizenship and created a derivative citizenship by giving other people citizenship, whether it be children otherwise, and you'll find out that none of them have citizenship. And so until we actually decide to embrace the 21st century, we're going to remain in the stupor of national development, global development, economic development, whatever. And so we need leadership that needs to bite the bullet, regardless of what has happened in the past, and fix the country, or we will become a stale state, going from failing to becoming a failed state.
Thank you so much. Absolutely. I'm sorry to all the callers that I have missed. Again, the numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. Text line powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Okay, so we said a whole lot of things there. To the caller who said that we talked about the proliferation of Creole in inner city communities, while there is, like C. Allen pointed out, there is a requirement for proficiency in English, right? The key is that there has to be a law, right, before you can outlaw something. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green. It's always a pleasure. You know, thanks for standing with humanity amidst that insanity yesterday's show, right?
Yes, sir.
I love your thoughts. You know, the thing is, the globalists, right? In order to achieve the New World Order, you have to get rid of language, borders, and cultures. And you see that with the North American Union and the EU and all of these things. These were incremental steps. I don't want to explain it, but C. Allen and I had this conversation years ago, and I would like to thank C. Allen because he was able to articulate it much better than I, but I was talking about the chronology using the JP, starting off incorrectly. And so C. Allen, the model that he mentioned would actually bring to light, he actually made it very lucid, and this would bring to light all of the nefarious activity by these justices of the peace when we have no peace. Now, the thing is, I like to say, C. Allen and most people, that is the new oil. And this terminology was around from like the early 2000s. And so I hear all about the YouTubers and all that, but the question is, are we allowed to monetize YouTube likes? So at 60, right, social media, encyclopedia can't dumb me down because I've been around. It just can't. I mean, it's just give me a break here. And so I live in the inner city where there's no pity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where there's a problem of with doing good or just being to yourself and just doing what you have to do in life. And you people observe you more. So now, condolences to... I forgot his term of saying, condolences to the passing of his daughter. He's a great friend of my father. I would see him. It's when he come up by the old man. But also to the officer that was stabbed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I was vexed about the Haitian guy. You ran the story about the Haitian guy being knocked down. Just show you what these people think about us. But now, as the officer being stabbed, I was vexed about that because, you know, they thought my generation is bad. I will never stab an officer, even if he's a rogue. They have brutalized me. They have done all kinds of things to me. But I'm guarantee you that those guys that stabbed that officer is not a bohemian. Since they say it's more of us than them. And Anglestone is now Haitianville, okay?
Oh.
So we want to get to the bottom of who they have the name and shame. You can't stab an officer. An officer went to help people. And you try to tell me now they stabbed the officer, Aaron? The officer wasn't supposed to have a taser. Now, I wouldn't have been vexed at all if he had shot one of them. You see, because the officer has the right to live. I mean,
it's obvious there's a threat to his life.
Yeah, but I'm saying is the officer was stabbed trying to do good. So I can't accept that. I wish him well, and, you know, the society need to rally around him and help him monetarily.
Yes.
I just can't accept that. I would not.
I know,
if you go in Anglestone and you leave your school, the keys in your school for 1 second, I see the guy running, oh, he's making a joke with his friend, they thought you leave his school. And these guys are just proliferating and allowed the thief and do a bunch of things, and people are big enough. They're smarter than me, and they're doing a bunch of BS on the road.
52. All right?
Hey, Aaron, let me tell you something. When a Haitian does something, there's a problem. I see the other day, they have a Jamaican was locked up for fraud and some other thing there.
Yeah.
But you don't put Haitian, but you put in Jamaican. So I see, if all of us are one and black people, why are the Haitian people be getting more special treatment? This is really becoming a problem.
I feel you, 52.
I see Alan said, immigration is doing nothing. All we are being is given stupefied and psychological operations. That's all the government running on the human people, okay?
Thank you.
That's
thank you, 52.
Doing.
Okay, so I know why, right? I know why, the exact example you said, why when they're talking about a Jamaican national, they're going to use Jamaican, but they're not using Haitian, right? It's because, like everybody calls and says, the tension is high in the inner city community. And people are trying to find balance, right? You, like you say, you don't want people to die, you want people to live, but we have to do something. And so, like... last week, we were talking about a particular subset and a particular type of sexual initiation that takes place. And I didn't call the name of the community because we're always concerned about inciting violence towards communities because violence don't have no owner. It'll hit anybody, the innocent and those at fault. Right. And so we try to speak cautiously to not evoke or invoke, right, a hysteria against a particular community. That's why. Oh, boy, 52. We've got lots of work to do. Yesterday, I wanted to mention this idea. I think I referenced it yesterday that MPs should be managing constituencies. What does it mean to be an MP? What is your responsibility? And what are MPs doing in constituencies? What are they observing and how are they responding to it? And does an MP have a responsibility to address these types of tensions in the community? All right, I got a text here. I said, that's not it, Aaron. If the person is a Haitian, that will be stated. So perhaps what's happening is that the person is a Bahamian of Haitian descent. Because they're Bahamian, we don't call them a Haitian. Haitian descent does not matter because we're identifying nationality. I got you, Texter. I got you, Texter. Let's go to the next call. Good morning, caller.
It's great.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. 52, right? He spoke on the radio station just now, right?
Yeah.
And he made me strongly think about something very quickly. Why we have a problem with farming. We have a problem with farming in the Bahamas based on the fact that farming, we have it equated to a Haitian job.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Bahamas, right, being a Haitian is the single worst thing that could ever happen to an individual. We treat being a Haitian as a disease,
mm-hmm.
as a germ,
mm-hmm.
as something in the back of the toilet bowl. You know that little black thing when you ain't clean the bathroom properly?
The stain on the toilet. I mean, you are not wrong.
So we are now creating a dual society, which is a very dangerous thing. Because now you're making the individuals feel not wanted.
Mm-hmm. Especially as children. Especially when you do it children.
This conversation this conversation we're having now, right,
mm-hmm.
is no longer going to become intelligent or educated. People are going to give emotional responses to it,
mm-hmm.
which is going to cause the whole conversation to go left.
Okay.
All right.
No, thank you. Thank you very much for that caution to remind us to measure our words, to not just speak from emotion only, to not be, to not have a reflexive response. I appreciate that. But these conversations will become difficult. I think, that's what 52 tried to point out, that we have to start, no matter how difficult the conversation will be, because the implications of our mistakes and the consequences of our mistakes are life lasting, lifelong. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Aaron, in relation to or in regards to this problem that we have in this country, the illegal migration problem that's been perpetuated from government to government, administration to administration, no matter who comes in, the agenda is, it ain't no other national but Haitian. And we ain't being, if they will, taking on one particular national. But the reality is that this corruption been going on too long, continue to go on. We ain't serious. We ain't protecting our borders. We ain't doing no raids to remove people from this country. Aaron, but what is ironic, right?
Mm-hmm.
You holding this show. You a pro-Haitian. Definitely, because you don't even know you're intelligent. And you wouldn't even hold a conversation properly about this problem. And it's almost akin to when you were the head of the Rainbow.
I don't know what happened to the call just now. You say, obviously, I am pro-Haitian. Okay. It's no problem. I don't have a problem with that. I am pro. You know what I am pro? I'm pro-human life. I am pro-common sense. I am pro doing things properly, right? The prior caller, made a point of how difficult these conversations will be and can be, that people will begin to be emotional. I'll say this, I'm a human rights advocate, an intersectional, anti-imperialist, anti-capitalist human rights advocate. My advocacy is aimed at creating a world beyond imperialism and capitalism, not in response to imperialism and capitalism. I don't have a problem with you calling me pro-Haitian because when I see Haiti, I don't just see Haiti 2025. I don't just see Haiti 2000. I don't just see Haiti 1992, like when I graduated from high school. I don't just see Haiti 1970s, when Papa Doc and Baby Doc was doing their thing. I don't just see that Haiti. I don't just see this modern Haiti painted to us in the media. I see 1804 Haiti. I see 1600 Haiti. I see the Haiti where mulattoes fled Haiti and ended up in Long Island. Right? A sense of space, a sense of time, a sense of belonging, a sense of identity. I really appreciate that prior caller pointing out that we must be careful having these conversations. And Cleve, I appreciate you for opening up a space for me to declare what I think is right. Now, the music is playing. I gotta go to a break. When we come back from the break, I'm gonna reiterate to you what I think our government's immigration policy is vis-a-vis Haitian nationals. You're On the Clock with Aaron Green. That song is Josiah's the JP. You may have heard it at the beginning of the opening of Burma Road. Said, don't mind Livingston. Josiah is the JP. I think we've been talking about this immigration thing for a long time. Like a previous caller said, ain't nothing new under this sun. Only the technology that's exposing what's always been happening. You're On the Clock with Aaron Green. We'll be right back.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Bahamas, are you ready? The world is coming to Wasan for the 2025 CONCACAF Beach Soccer World Cup Qualifiers. March 11th through 16th at the Beach Soccer Stadium next to the Sydney Poitier Bridge. The Jungle Beach Boys, top five in CONCACAF, taking on Mexico, USA, and El Salvador. Beach party meets world-class soccer, non-stop action, jungle rhythms, great food, and pure vibes. And it's free. Bring your crew, ring your cowbells, beat your drums, no whistles. March 11th through 16th at the Beach Soccer Stadium. Visit BahamasFA.net for details. Bahamas Beach Soccer, pure vibes.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Listen, don't miss the 2025 CONCACAF Beach Soccer Championship at Malcolm Park Beach Soccer Stadium in Nassau, New Providence, March 11th through 16th. Watch the Junkanoo Boys take on top teams like Panama and the U.S. It's free to attend and support your team. I'm coming to you right now, callers. Two things quickly before they slip my mind. Let's talk about proficiency in English. That's a reasonable requirement, a proficiency in English. But what does that mean? See, about 20 years ago, I almost got arrested. Why? Because I refused to sign the statement that I gave while making a report to the police. Why did I refuse to sign the statement that the police officer transcribed? Is because nothing that they wrote on that piece of paper is what I actually told them. See, because I almost got arrested because of what you call proficiency in English. So what does that mean? And that's just a push aside. The next thing is, I know a young man right now who's 20, 22, who didn't know what the fry was. So when we talk, and this boy is a Bahamian citizen, when we talk about, like, what is the criteria for citizenship, for belonging here, this boy is a Bahamian. He sound like a Bahamian. He's a Bahamian. He don't know where the fry is. It's not an indictment on him. It's just a circumstance that exists. Let's get to the callers, and then I'm going to need about 5 minutes to get through all the texts. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Did I miss you? I'm so sorry. Good morning, caller. Oh, I'm so sorry that I missed you. We got 10 minutes. Numbers to call, 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for Family Island listeners. I'm sorry if I missed any of y'all today. Let's get to the text line. The text line says, the killing of rivals of cannabis shops started as the Haitian population increased in Englishton. Wilson Track has the record alone. I live in the area and talking the truth. So politicians are to blame. Napoleon only sent 20,000 soldiers. Disease killed most of them. Read the history. That's the history of Haiti. Plus, Haiti had the most slaves number-wise. Yeah, I mean, when you realize that the bond that was taken out to pay British slave owners, the transatlantic slave trade, that bond was only paid off in 2015, which means that the descendants of enslaved people were paying the bill for their ancestors' freedom up until 2015. Aaron, the Bahamas is a failed state. The politicians from both political parties tried to hide that fact. Case in point, all of these loans that the Bahamas government is getting to maintain, paying our interest on the debt and paying our creditors that the government has, and of course the lawlessness and corruption that we have per capita. The only reason that we don't realize that the Bahamas is a failed state is because of our close location to the U.S. and that most of our funds comes from American tourists and taxing Bahamians. I mean, that's one of my strongest points for that argument that we're a failed state is that this conversation we had last week, the government had projected a $69 million deficit. They surpassed it. It's something like the deficit was like 300 and something million, 372 possibly, the deficit. So they exceeded it by almost $200 million. That's a deficit. These guys are projecting how much money they're going to lose. And they still don't meet the target. And then they want you to celebrate them for coming close to hitting the target of how much money they're going to lose. Any ordinary citizen that attempts to operate that way can go to jail. When is the last time was the budget ever balanced? I mean, right, like, was the coffers ever balanced? Like the Texas said, they're taking out loans to pay down on debt, not to pay off the whole debt, you know, to pay down on debt. They're incurring debt to pay down on debt. Which we have to learn that not all debt is bad debt, right? But you want us to celebrate you. You want us to tell you you're doing a good job. Here's another text. Aaron, I would not want to get arrested in the Bahamas. The police follow no laws in regards to a person's rights. Oh, boy. Good morning. I tell you, the officer threatened to lock me up for not signing the statement. And I have to, and they say to you, you sign in the statement to say this is what you said. And I tell them that's not what I said. You're trying to lock me up. Let's go to the phone line, producer, quickly. Good morning, caller.
Bahamas, how you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm also a Bahamian American living in the United States over 40 years, right?
Yes, sir.
When I took my citizenship test, right, it was in English. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize the United States doesn't have no official language, you know that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Most people in America speak English, but there's no official language in America. That's why when you call, like, any government agency, you might hear it and they press one for English, two for Spanish or Creole or what.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, me personally, I believe if you move to a country, you migrate to any country, your first thing you should do is try to learn that country's you know, language. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if I pack up and move right now to Italy, if I want to live in Italy, I have to learn Italian.
Or try go to France and don't speak French. Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? But I feel like if you move to any, if you migrate to any country, that country shouldn't bend over backwards for you. You know, prepare. You should learn that country language. I mean, with which most people speak. You know what I'm saying? That's the way I look at it. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, I got my citizenship many moons ago. I got sworn in when I was in the military on a USF carrier by George Bush. Daddy, doing the Reagan,
mm-hmm.
doing the Reagan administration. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like most people, if you move to any country, most people in America speak English. Most all the road signs in English. You should learn English. That's the way I look at it. You know, nobody says you cannot speak your native tongue. But if you move to a country, you should learn that country. No one say official language, but majority of people speak English. That's what I look at it. If you move to the Bahamas, you know what most people speak.
Now,
you've been
living
in the Bahamas 20-something years, and you cannot speak English. That's crazy. I don't think you deserve citizenship. That's just my opinion.
I appreciate the sentiment. Thank you very much for calling. Thank you very much for calling and sharing. Absolutely. I feel that way. You want to be safe in the country, you need to learn the language. You want to be comfortable, you need to learn the language. If you want to become a part of your community, you should learn the language. A number of texts came in and said, Trump just made English the official language in the U.S. Hold on now. Was it an executive order that could be reversed? Is it Trump president or is it Musk president that did it? Right? I'm just saying. Also, here's the next consideration. Producer Prep, the next caller. If we're a tourist jurisdiction, and we cater to people from all around the world, so we're prepared to interpret, right, and translate multiple languages, should people who live here also have access to those services? So if a tourist may call a government office, right, should a permanent resident or a new nationality holder also have access to the same thing. So I say, what day is open line? Supposed to have some musicians in on Friday, and we have an open line then. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
To refute a few texts down,
mm-hmm.
Speaking about the Haitian population and I'm listening.
Yeah. The text was a bit concerning. I should have paused on reading it because I'm not quite clear on what they're saying.
That is so insulting to Haitians and persons of Haitian descent in this country. I think, Aaron, what you should do, or maybe, I don't know, one day,
mm-hmm.
I suggest you bring on some Haitians or persons of Haitian descent who's contributing to this country and who is doing good in this country.
Because the vast majority of people of Haitian descent in this country, whether they are Bahamian citizens, whether they are migrants, right, are making positive contributions. The vast majority.
Because that was very ignorant of that text, you know, very ignorant. And you can't blame every woe and every negativity on Haitians in this country.
Say it again.
You can't blame every woe and everything that's negatively impacting this country on Haitian migrants or those of Haitian descent.
I got you, caller.
Thank you so much.
No, absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely. I'm going to reach out to Luby George because that's someone I know who has great reach within the community to connect me with people who are willing to come and talk about the contributions made. We shouldn't have to, you know. We should all accept because we know. We all know that. People of Haitian descent have made massive positive contributions in this country. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there? Sorry, I missed you. All right. I'm not sure the context of that text. Public service license and taxi drivers. Yes, you must, my word, be able to speak English to be granted citizenship in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. It is pellucidly clear that our legislators have failed us over and over again in establishing laws, quote, for the good governance of the country. We are in a national security crisis. And the clause in the Constitution that allows us to put aside the, quote, right to register should be invoked immediately. Now, what I wanted to talk about in terms of immigration, I got 30 seconds to do it. I have been highlighting commentary from state actors regularly over this in an attempt to point us to what the government's immigration policy in relation to Haitian migrants is, right? Now, I'm talking about, like, philosophically, we often hear the chairman of the PLP party, who is also the Minister of Foreign Affairs, who's also the MP for Fox Hill, which is an interesting dynamic because in each capacity he serves, this issue arises, right? We often hear him telling us that he don't understand why we don't understand what's happening. He tells us that if we look at the statistics at the latest census, that the birth rates are down, right? He tells us that the tax base is too small to support the work of government, which I don't know how a government could get up and tell us there's not enough people for us to govern properly, right? But I have often declared this is not a migration crisis. It is an administrative crisis because we have no clarity and transparency on what the government's intent is in terms of supplying or ensuring a supply of labor for development projects where there's local developers or foreign direct investment, right? And the conversations today, the people expressing frustration and concerns arising from the daily lives in the communities that they are in and what they have been observing over decades is that the administrative crisis is the lack of communication between the government and the people as to what their policies actually are and what the intent of these policies are. And I do this and I point this out in an attempt to decrease the tension between the Bahamian and the Haitian descent populations in the country. Like the caller said, we have to be very careful when we have these conversations because we cannot lead from a place of emotion. We must be mature and we must do what we know we ought to do when we ought to do it. Those people, though, expressing concern and frustration also express a love and concern for the well-being of Haitian populations in the country. Remember, like the last caller said, it is an incredibly foolish and disgusting thing to paint a picture that leads us to believe that Haitians have not made massive positive and continue to make positive contributions every day to this country. And if saying that means like pro-Haiti and pro-Haitian, then so be it. So be it. Been on the clock with Aaron Green. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.